this is a pretty exciting day for you. You've just graduated from the program here at the Alberta Research Council. What is the name of the program and what is it?
It's the name of it is Aboriginal Land Stewardship Pilot Program. And we are now certified land stewards, and these are the first ones. So it'll be a one-year program now after this.
Now, you've been involved in this for 2 years. What got you interested in it? Why did you participate?
Well, my main reason for participating is I've always wanted something to do with the land, like to be working outside all the time. And I took my first environment course back in 2007, and that's what actually made me want to keep going with the environment.
What kinds of things did you look at or learn about in this program?
We've seen 2 reclaimed sites in this program. One was a coal mine and one was the Suncor open pit mine. And we've seen how it gets disturbed, and then after that how it gets reclaimed. It's not really back to its normal state, but it's better than having a big hole in the earth. And we've learned a lot of things to do with the government and how industry works. And we've created toolboxes to take back to our nations and to utilize it in our workplaces.
Now, how would you use this program now that you're finished? How are you going to use these things that you've learned?
I'm going to use these when it comes to negotiating with companies regarding the land. And this is a very unique program because it was community-based, and all the information we learned from the trainers has something to do with our everyday work, so we could use it, and it makes us more effective in our workplace.
When you think of how you perceive things before you started this program, and then how you think of things now, what has changed?
Well, in the past, there was never anybody in the nation that would actually document and collect this kind of data that Ike and I will be doing. And this is a major plus for our communities because we have somebody out there, whereas in the past there was nobody out there documenting any of these sites for our future generations to see and to keep protected from industrial activity.
Does it show you that perhaps industry and Aboriginal nations can work together?
Yes, they can work effectively together with this program because it's like Ike and I will be the middleman between industry and our nations, trying to get them to both negotiate and be happy with what's coming and everything that comes from Alberta as a whole, I guess.
Now, you say you can take this back to your workplace. So where do you work?
I work at the Big Stone Cree Nation Consultation Office, and I'll be serving the nation as their environmental technician now from now on after graduating today.
Now, you say that there are going to be more people following in your footsteps and continuing with the program. What advice do you have for them?
My advice to them is to keep going strong, and it's well worth it. It's well worth the 1 year that they'll be taking, and their nations will be proud of them.
Thank you very much, Jan, and congratulations.
Thank you.
You've just graduated today from the Land Stewardship Program. Could you tell me about it, please?
I think the Land Steward program has been something that's been with me for a long time, and I say that by ways and means. In the area that I work with the Land Management Service Area, and in that sense, the Land Steward was a tool or the key that just kind of sharpened myself up to take these tools to apply to my community. First Nations.
What are some of the concerns that the people in your community have about industrial development and what's going on in your area?
A lot of the concerns that we have as a First Nations community is not being heard as far as being the voice of the land, whether it be from the traditional aspect of things to ceremonial areas, as well as being involved from the get-go, from the start of the development, what industry is proposing, to having our input as to how we can play a role in that.
Now, in this partnership, there was the Alberta Research Council, but there was also a number of different companies. What was their involvement in the program?
With the involvement of ARC and the other industries, whether it be the ones that were here, their involvement was the encouragement, the understanding of when they had heard about the internship, and within the first year and second year, they understood the involvement of where the First Nations communities were going with industry and how they can work together, bridging that gap. Their involvement was with a lot of words of encouragement and understanding that industry can move forward if we all work together and think the same.
Now, you spent 2 years in this project. What are some of the things that you did?
I think one of the key things that we were first introduced to, it was knowing the land and identifying the other First Nations communities, whether it's from Siksika to the Big Stone Cree Nation. There was a lot of similarities in how we talk, but you know, as First Nations people, we have to keep in mind that our beliefs, our understanding, and how we use the land are a lot different in a lot of senses. So getting the understanding with my fellow intern there of where to start. And in the two-year program, it was knowing your land to coming to the table and actually meeting industry.
Now, were you out traipsing around the landscape?
Yes, we were. We were out there looking at a variety of things, looking at how traditional sites played a key role to understanding the wetlands, the landscape of how industry comes in, and then having us involved of how the environment has changed, and being a part of that, continuing to move to different aspects, whether it was water, land, air. It was understanding those three components and how we can better help Mother Earth.
Do you think it's been worth it, going through this program?
It has been a huge asset to myself and as well as my community and the First Nations people. I say that within Alberta, because we are more involved now as land stewards. We can be voices to industry or anyone's for that matter. I think the ideal, and I always say, we talk about awareness. I don't like to use the word awareness. I like to use the word involvement. Involvement is the key that we can step together to say, this is what works for us, this is what works for you, and the interests are both there.
Now, you've gone through the program. It's obviously been a very important experience for you. How does your community feel about it?
My community in the area that I work, as well as the elders that I work with and the First Nations youth, they really take my training while it's still fresh. I apply it to their minds and they kind of use it to inspire the young generation to say, yes, Mother Earth is there and we need to respect it in the sense that we need to understand where Mother Earth begins and ends.
Once you head back to the Siksika Nation, what will you be heading back to? What will you be doing?
When I head back to Siksika Nation, and what I have been doing is working in the Siksika Land Management Service area. So what on an annual basis, for every training that I've took here in our ARC, what I've been doing is applying it to my coworkers, to my family, and on a personal level, to my home, addressing that I'm looking at Mother Earth in a respectful way that I can apply it in that sense and also encourage them and give them the understanding of what's coming to Siksika Nation and how we can play an involvement in that.
You have your baby son here with you today at the ceremony. When you think ahead to his future, when he's grown up and he's your age, what are your hopes for him?
I hope that when he looks back at his father, he can say that his father was in harmony with Mother Earth, and that he, from what I teach him, from the blade of the grass, from the standing of the soil, that he will be inspirational and carry on what his dad was voicing, so that in his generation, he can be a role in how Mother Earth will grow in every day that he's growing, as well as how I grew in this program.
Congratulations, Ike, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sean, what was your involvement in this land stewardship program?
I was involved in the supporting the design and the approach we would use to see whether or not we could build something, and more or less acting as the executive sponsor for the program.
What was the program all about? What were you trying to achieve here?
We had an open house for Aboriginal communities, which was really a chance for us to get an appreciation of what was on their mind, and they could get essentially meet ARC. One of the things that came out of that open house was the need for capacity building. And we asked, well, why? And they said, well, because that would help communities. And we said, how would that help communities? Well, if we built capacity. And so there was a circular argument around a general concept of how capacity building was good. But when we tried to get a clear definition of, so what does that mean? What would success look like? We couldn't find one. So there were enough people who asked us about that. Plus, we had Alberta Environment, who also said that they were worried about, or not worried, but thinking about those issues in terms of how do you build capacity in First Nation communities, that we decided, well, it was worth some design work. So we started off with some local communities to ask them, what did they really mean by capacity building? And, how do they think a program might work for them to meet their particular circumstances, and spent a year in design work all around trying to answer this question, how to build capacity in Aboriginal communities that, is sustainable and long-term and provides long-term benefit for them.
And what is the definition of capacity?
Well, it's a little bit of a mouthful, but it was important for precision. So it's about having qualified, trained people in specific positions in organizations that are anchored in the community. And in this case, it's positions associated with sustainable land and resource management. So sometimes you'll find them in the land management services branch. Other times you'll find these positions in environmental services organizations. But it's this idea of being able to enable the organizations of the community to have the right people in place with very practical skills doing their work.
Today you had a ceremony to celebrate the two first graduates of this program, and you said it was a pilot program. What exactly did they do over these 2 years?
Well, we divided the pilot into three major modules, the three basic skills that we felt that they needed in order to be effective in their communities. The first one was to know their land. So to understand the traditional, go through the traditional knowledge, talk to their elders, understand their history, their culture, and the ties to the land that they had. That also included things like GPS and GIS training, so that they could use maps and use the new technology that you use when talking about positions, how to mark, for example, grave sites and other religious sites, and just getting a better appreciation of the base in terms of their land. The second piece was knowing government, so learning, how government operates, things from the fact that they, form policies, and those policies get converted into dollars and regulations and things like that, and introduce them to the different ministries and people that they could talk to if they had questions. And the third module was about knowing industry. So, why does industry come on their land? How do they think? How do they operate? Why do they do the things they do sometimes? If you don't understand industry, some of the things might look really strange. And part of that was actual tours. They had a tour up in the pulp mill with Alpac. Suncor actually gave them a flyover for the oil sand. So when you put all those three components together, they really got an understanding of who they're working with, why they behave the way they do, and what tools they had that they could use to try to make relationships more productive, where, you know, the, you know, whatever the concerns or opportunities that industry and government were working on could be done in a way that also met the needs and aspirations of their own community.
The two interns who graduated, how did you pick the people who took part in this program?
We left it to the communities. This has been a community-based program from the start. It's been a bottom-up approach. The first people at the design table were community people. So when it came time to pick interns, we were thinking about a whole, you know, method, how should we do it? And in the end, we said, well, if it's going to be a community-based program, you've got to let the communities pick the interns. And so that's what we did.
When you see the two young people who graduated today, I was very, very impressed. What changes have you seen in them from when they first got involved and to the point where they are today when they graduated?
Well, I think the big change is just a combination of confidence, pride in themselves, pride in their culture, pride in their nation, and not being afraid to say so, and a broader view of the world, you know, understanding that, you know, their nation is connected in a variety of different ways to Alberta, to Canada, to other First Nations. And in all honesty, that was probably one of the, whenever you do a pilot, you have things that you plan to see occur and some unexpected things. And I think this is one of the unexpected ones. We knew we'd give them hands-on tools. We knew we'd give them practical training. But we didn't really anticipate the impact of the social support because outside their communities, you had a whole number of people excited to work with them, giving them positive messages, encouraging them, and people from all sorts of places, not just one. So you had people in government, people in industry, you had instructors from a variety of organizations all sending them the same message. You're bright, you're good, you're doing great work. We're really enjoying having the opportunity to spend time with you. So not only did they learn, but when they came back to their community, they came back with a lot of positive messages. And so, you know, and I think you saw it today, as you mentioned, that you can see a kind of confidence that is, but it's a respectful confidence, right? It's not arrogant. It's not over the top. But, you know, they feel comfortable in their voice now, which is really nice to see.
What has the Alberta Research Council and the companies who partnered in this program, what have you taken away from this? What have you learned from these young people and their communities?
That's a really good question. You know, there's such a joy in seeing their success. And I suppose if there was one takeaway, not just for us or not just for industry, but also for government, is the communities know what they need. You know, a lot of times programs come in from a top-down approach and it's based on a whole lot of assumptions. Some of them stereotypes, some of them just, you know, years of a certain mindset. And so the program gets designed in a way that's not really rooted in any kind of community perspective or community perspective perhaps of 10 or 15 years ago, but not the community perspective of today. And so a lot of these programs try to do good, but don't really take root. If they had, there would have been no need for this capacity building program. And in this program, what we did was we simply trusted them, listened. We didn't listen blindly. We pushed back and we said, well, what about this? What about, well, you know, if you do that, how's that going to work? But there was a good back and forth dialogue. And in the end, we went with the design that came out of that bottom-up process. And I think that's one of the big reasons why the program is successful is because it actually started rooted in the perspective of the community and the community experience and then grew outwards and engaged outwards rather than coming in from the top and trying to, you know, engineer something without thinking about the social context.
What final words do you have for the graduates, for Jan and for Ike, and the people who follow in their footsteps?
Be true to your culture. Be proud of your nation. Be true to your spirit. Many of the folks from First Nations talk about the Creator guiding them. And, you know, there's a variety of religions around the world, and theirs deserves as much respect as any others. And so if, you know, I think they need to trust in their Creator and follow the path that has been laid out for them, and they'll do just fine.
Thank you very much, Sean.
Well, thank you.